On behalf of the Cornell Global Labour Institute and the Labour Studies Programme, I'd like to welcome you all here this evening. If this is your first time here at Cornell, the ILR School's facility, just want to let you know what goes on here on a regular basis. This school is literally tens of thousands of union staff, organisers, rank and file leaders, even national leaders have been through this school, taking courses for college credit in the Labour Studies Certificate Programme and also the Union Leadership Workshop Series and a number of other programmes. If you look around the labour movement in New York City, in New York State and in other parts of the country really, there's a good chance that they would have been through Cornell and got their training here. Tonight we're trying to accomplish a couple of things. First of all, we're privileged to have a rare opportunity to meet with leaders of the Indian labor movement. I've been in New York for almost 20 years and I've been active in the labor movement and left politics for a long time. And I don't think I remember an official tour of Indian union leaders. So this is a great privilege for Cornell. It's a privilege for me and I think everybody involved with this project to have a chance to listen and hear and learn from these leaders from India. Of course, the issue of India has come into prominence, into sharp focus over the last 12 months or so with the debate around outsourcing. And what we've heard on the media is people like Lou Dobbs saying, you know, these great American jobs are going to this foreign country, God knows where that is, and our job is to stop that happening and save the American economy. Or we hear the other view, which is outsourcing is great for American workers, no problem, you know, we'll all get a job somewhere else, and this is just part of progress unfolding before our eyes, a sort of a natural process. Well, tonight we get an opportunity to examine some of those issues, but also maybe get a different perspective out, and also to entertain the fact that this is not just about outsourcing. This is about what's happening in the global political economy, what direction the planet is going, and what we as trade unionists can do about it. The second thing we're trying to accomplish tonight is to lay the groundwork with this conversation for some ongoing relationship building with the Indian labor movement. We talk a lot about international solidarity. For many years, it was a nice thing to talk about. It felt good. To think that we were workers of all countries trying to unite. But until recently, there's not been maybe a pressing enough reason for us to do that, to really reach out. Now with globalization and the movement of capital around the planet at such phenomenal pace and with such political aggressiveness that we are now compelled to make these relationships. So it's important then that we don't just have a conversation, but we actually do something with the conversation and keep these links going. I'd like to say a word in closing, before I rather go into the program, about the Global Labour Institute, what we're trying to do here. The Institute aims to become a place where union activists, leaders, staff can link up with other union activists, leaders and staff from other parts of the world to talk about these issues. Also, we want to bring into the conversation our allies in other social movements, because we don't think that labor in the US or labor internationally is going to be powerful enough to solve these problems. We're about opening up debate on policy alternatives, on internationalism, transparency, and governance questions. Issues of global justice that don't often get before us in union halls and traditional union business. It's just simply not discussed. And it needs to be discussed with a new energy and a new discipline and a new commitment. The Institute will tap into the expertise of Cornell faculty and others around the academic and research communities, people who have the interests of labor at heart, people we can link up with. No such venue exists in the United States, so I think the Global Labor Institute is somewhat unique. And we're hoping to build it in a very specific way. And that is, it has to be labor driven. I'm pleased to say that two internationals have come forward and endorsed or sponsored the Global Labor Institute, which means, in a nutshell, they wrote a check. And that's the kind of support we need. Completely unsolicited, because I haven't even gotten around to reaching out to union locals yet. Locals have come forward with donations ranging from a couple of hundred dollars to thousands of dollars. We don't have a lot of money, but more importantly, we do have the beginnings to fund and support this institute. But the most important thing is it has to come from labor. We can go to foundations, we can go to other funders, and they will probably, if we try hard enough, support us. And I'm not ruling that out. But the most important thing is that we root this within the labor community. Before I go on, I'd like to recognize a colleague and a friend of mine, a mentor really, and that's our former dean of the ILR school, Lois Gray, who's sitting over there. She's been a tremendous inspiration. Not just to her students and to labor studies, but it was to Lois where I went first with the idea of the Global Labor Institute, because she has a long history in developing these international relationships with the unions, and I think it's fair to say, Lois, you're fairly pleased that this is happening again. Now, on to the program. We have three contributors this evening, two of whom represent unions in India, a lot of unions in India, part of an initiative called the New Trade Union Initiative, and we also have I'm getting a little tired, it's been a long day, so I'm mispronouncing the names. Ananya Bhattacharjee is the liaison with Jobs with Justice and also working with the New Trade Union Initiative project. And she's going to open up and give some introductory comments about what's going on in India. Following Ananya, there will be Ms. Chandra, who is a leader of mine workers in India. And she's got some stories to tell about what's going on in her industry and some of the challenges they face. And then finally, Mr. Ashim Roy, who is also a leader of a number of unions, not least the General Electric Company, who and that sector, machinists and so on. So that's we have three voices into this debate. After we've heard their presentations, it's open to you to be part of the discussion, to ask your questions, make your comments, and then we'll have some closing comments, and then we'll be over by 8:30. We are expecting in a few minutes another group of people to come. Where they'll sit, I haven't quite worked out, but they will be here. So once again, I'd like to offer a warm Cornell welcome to our guests from India and hand it over to Ananya to lead open the discussion.
Good evening. How are you all this evening? Good. So we are actually just delighted to be starting this tour in New York City. I'm no stranger to the city. I've been working here in immigrant communities for many years and recently moved to India last year, and I'm going back and forth. So when asked who I am, I often say I'm half Indian and half New Yorker. So we feel this is an appropriate place to start this journey that we have embarked on to further transnational cooperation. So this is a city where immigrants run the engine that keeps this city alive, and a city where people are outward looking, internationally minded, and we are all influenced by the politics of our home countries as well as the politics of this country. And so this is a very unique mix in this city to bring to from where to start the tour. And so as we all know, in the times that we are living in today, where companies have transnational operations and workplaces are no longer units by themselves, international solidarity work is not just a luxury, it's a necessity today. Jobs with Justice, some of you may know, is a national organization for labor rights in the United States. It has been working within the country since the late 80s, building coalitions among unions, community organizations, faith-based organizations, student groups, to build a broad movement for labor's cause. And what Jobs with Justice believes is that to build a movement for workers' rights, we need broad coalitions for the long term, where we build trust and mutual understanding and a general spirit of reciprocity, that we have to be there for each other. And this is in the spirit of Yeah, thanks. Yeah. An injury to one is an injury for all. Joseph Justice has believed that we must engage rank and file workers and everyday people in the grassroots in our struggle. Now, as we struggle to understand this old concept of transnationalism, we try to figure out what are the principles that we must use to guide this work. And what we find is that the principles to guide this work is very similar to the principles that we use to do our local work, which is that we must build long-term relationships based on understanding that engages rank and file people. And this is as important as in our country as it is across countries. And so to begin this work, it's difficult to begin any work unless we meet each other, we get to know each other. And so that is one of the purposes of this tour. And why India? Why are we doing a tour with Indian trade unionists? We are more often used to seeing people coming from Latin America, from Canada. Why are we bringing people from India? So as you know, that is, I think the we know what the answer is. India has been in the news, and it has been in our lives, and it has been on our minds in terms of what is happening across the globe, which is the run for cheap labor that the multinational corporations are engaging in, the global race to the bottom. That is also called outsourcing. And what we have heard is that for one set of workers to prosper, another set of workers must pay the price. And that's how it's put out to us. But how much truth is there behind this message? And what are the half-truths and what are the half-lies? And who can tell us? Most of the people that we have heard throughout the elections and generally in the media are really the voices of the CEOs of the multinational companies and then politicians. And we are not sure whether the politicians have the interests of workers in their hearts when they propose legislation, when they propose ways of dealing with this problem. But what we have not heard is voices of the labor movement and of workers, at least from India. We have not had that at all. And so that is the gap that we feel we must fill. Otherwise, there is no point in really working together if we are going to base our strategies on what the CEOs are saying and what the politicians are saying. We have to base our strategies on what our colleagues and our co-workers are saying in India. So we are going to do this tour for about 3 weeks across the United States, going to 9 cities. We are going to meet with unions, some one-on-one meetings, do some public talks like we are doing tonight, do some press interviews. This is a first step. We don't expect this to solve all the problems we have of misunderstanding and lack of information, but this is a first step to just find out how are people receiving us and how are the conversations going, what kind of things can we do together. So this is really what we want to. Our goals are modest in that sense. You know, this is the first step towards building relations. So tonight we are really happy to be here with all of you, and I want to thank Sean for putting all this together. And I don't want to take up too much time myself. I just wanted to give you an introduction to the collaboration that Jobs with Justice is embarking on with the New Trade Union Initiative and why we are doing it. So I'll say a few more words about the speakers. Chandra is a very fiery trade union leader from India. She will energize you in just a few minutes. She's not just a trade union leader. She is a social movement activist who has done a pioneering work around violence against women and has brought to the women's movement a labor perspective and a women's perspective to the labor movement, and is an integral link in this coming together of these two movements, which is something that NTUI believes in doing and that you will hear more about. She's also the organizing secretary of 50,000 strong mine workers union. I mean, I have visited her where she lives and works, and she's just an incredible local and national leader is all I can say across the spectrum. She's also organized forest workers in the region, about 10,000 workers who were contract labor who became permanent workers. And so anyway, she has a lot of achievements under belt, and she's going to tell you a little bit about her work and about the Indian trade union movement. Ashim Roy has been active in the left movement in India for a very long time, and also his work spans several movements. He is a very well-known and respected trade union leader, particularly from the sector of independent unions. He's been in government, student politics, as well as the union movement. And so his experiences are very varied. He is a key visionary and thinker behind this initiative called the New Trade Union Initiative. And why it is new and why it is exciting, you will hear about soon enough. He also writes and is kind of a trade union intellectual, of which we need many, because sometimes the two activities can be quite divided. So, okay, I would like to welcome Chandra.